You just watched the episode, right?
I no. Wait, there's an episode?
Shut up.
All right.
What'd you think? Like,
let's talk about it on a show. I guess we'll. I guess I'll just. I was recording some of that exchange, so this is the show now.
Oh, well, goddammit.
All right. So yeah, we have some things to discuss. While I enjoyed this episode, but you told me it was your favorite episode of the season, and I just didn't see it.
Not thus far. I just felt like the most business went down. Important business.
Okay, well, let's discuss.
We shall discuss this business. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm cold. You know, I know you get really, like, you and I both to get pissy when people complain or talk about the weather, especially when it's, like, seasonal weather. In winter, for example, when people say things
winter.
Like...
Winter. Oh, my God, it's so cold. But, summer. Oh, it's so hot. Yeah, no shit.
But you know what? Like, seriously? Enough of the shit. It is...
only because this winter was so brutal, and, it's just kind of like, all right, lighten up already.
Yeah. It's like, enough. Enough's
enough.
Yeah,
it's really fucking annoying.
Time for change.
I remember a friend of mine, there was a... I know, like, November's a little early. You know, it doesn't usually snow in New York City in November, but sometimes it does. You know, that's been, like, forever. And November's still, like, a wintry month, like, late fall, early winter.
Right.
And I remember someone made a status... When it snowed, actually, for the first time this year, like mid-November, late November, and the status was like, oh my God, what is this snow out of nowhere? And I just responded, it's winter. It happened. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's fucking snow out of nowhere. If it was July, I'd be like, what is this snow out of nowhere?
Yeah. Well, in the land of girls, I'm pretty sure right now it is summer.
That's the with last episode at the summary house.
Yeah. And well, this last episode, yeah. So tell me why you really like this episode.
I really like this episode. I mean, first of all, the main storyline, the main angle, the driving bit of business about this episode is all about Adam. And you know, the more Adam the better. He's our favorite character on the show. He's the best in so many ways. Not only is he our favorite character on the show, I feel like he's the best actor, like, you know, non-kayfabe wise, you know, fourth wall in it here, breaking it down. I think he's the best actor on the show.
And, he actually...
Do you agree?
And as life art imitates life, in this episode, he's at his audition callback, and he gets the part for the part he's auditioning in, which... parallels his real life, where he's apparently going to be the villain in the next Star Wars movie.
That is amazing news that was just brought to our attention today.
Yeah.
That is, wow.
Dynamite. But yeah, he's...
I want to see... I can't wait... I mean, his real name is Adam, right?
Yeah, I think it's Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. Yeah, I want to see if Mr. Adam Driver... Obviously, I don't want to see him typecast as, like, that... eccentric Adam character, which, by the way,
I don't think the main villain of Star Wars is going to be like Adam from Girls. Like,
I know, that's why I'm excited to see him in Star Wars, because I want to see what else he can do as an actor.
He was in, and, you remember that movie Lincoln that came out, I think, a year ago?
Yeah.
He had a small part
the one with the vampire?
No, that's Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. This was just Lincoln.
Did you see the one with the vampires?
Yeah. I read the book before I saw the movie. The book was...
I remember you did.
The book was excellent. The movie was crap. But...
Yeah. Hollywood garbage, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, something that you know in the book right away, like something they tell you at the beginning of the book, they try to hold it out as a secret in the movie and have it as this big reveal halfway through the picture. But... If you read the book, you're just like, I know that already. But anyway... But there was.
It tried to be the big reveal, and it was just like, yeah. All right, whatever.
There was an actual biographical movie just called Lincoln, and there's some...
Right, that was Spielberg, right?
Yeah, and Adam actually had a part in it, and it took me a second, because he's dressed up in, like, you know, that old, like, 1800s soldier gear.
Old-timey shit.
But then he said something, and it struck me, and I said, wait, that's Adam, is it? And it was Adam, but...
But actually, I was trying to segue into, I'm not trying, I just happened to segue into saying that, you know, he's this eccentric Adam character. With this episode, it really finally strikes me is that, like, he is, I don't know if it's by design or, like, just they're being careless, but he's not really Crazy Adam guy that much anymore. He seems very normal, and he's like the most level-headed, normal guy on the show.
He still has his quirks.
Such as
he does like little things, such as when he's in the bathroom and he stuffs toilet paper in his mouth so he can yell a celebratory like war cry that he got the part.
But I felt like that was like charming and normal. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know if it was normal. It was charming.
Like, it's kind of, it's like, I feel like they've moved, it's almost like a a heel to face turn in wrestling, where it's kind of like, in the first season, you thought he was the heel, but it turns out he really was the face. So like, all like the quirky, weird things he did, because you're made to believe like you're on Hannah's side. You're like,
right,
you know, you're with her. And when he's looking at him and is frustrated with the crazy things he does, it's like, oh, well, he's no good. He's a crazy asshole. But then as you come to realize that she's the crazy asshole, things that the quirky things that you might have looked at in a negative light earlier, you come to see these things now as, oh, that's Adam just being like cute and charming Adam, which is exactly with the toilet paper thing. It's kind of like, he could have been a crazy psycho, like, but like, he took the time to stuff his mouth.
He turns into full Tasmanian of toilet devil, paper. According to you.
He took the time to stuff his mouth with toilet paper. It's almost a considerate gesture,
yeah,
to not scream like an asshole.
Right.
Because he's excited. And I like it. That moment put a smile on my face,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. No, it was a cool moment. I love, by the way, he's in the waiting room, I guess, for when they're doing the auditions, and he just answers the phone and just loudly says things like, everybody in this room looks like me with a nose job. No, I'm not here to make friends. And did you see, like, they all, like, kind of looked at him when he said that? Like, the way they did that was really cool. And
But that was smooth.
See, the thing about this episode is Hannah gets her first paycheck, and she's shocked at how much it is, which kind of surprised me, because usually when you get hired for a new job, they tell you how much money you're going to be making. They don't just say wait.
Right.
They don't just say work here for a week and see what happens. So she gets her paycheck. She's shocked at how much it is, and she's walking down the street now. She has swagger. She walks by a store, sees a dress. Next scene, you know, they cut, you know, hard cut to her wearing the dress now.
Typical.
Walking down the street. Yeah. Then it turns out she's going to be staying at the Gramercy. She's staying
at the Gramercy Hotel.
Yeah, Gramercy Hotel. And her boss is like, yeah, just go, you know, spend it, have fun. And write an article about like what it's like to stay there. So,
and I need it tomorrow.
Yeah. So she's going there that night. She decides she's going to invite Adam to celebrate. She ends up inviting like the whole gang.
Well, yes, we'll get to that. But let's not gloss over the fact that in the earlier part of this episode, she still had to do her original assignment,
which was
interview somebody.
Patty LuPone.
Who's that?
Well, she's, you know, a singer and an actress. She was just in American Horror Story this season. She was the crazy Christian neighbor.
I don't watch that show.
Oh, well, is she her character? She's like this like hardcore Christian lady, and you know, she's kind of like she at some point her son is like mingling with the girls next door. And she, like, has him stripped down naked, and she, like, makes him, like, drink Borax or something like that because he's unclean.
Oh, my God.
Like, horrible. But anyway. So,
welcome to American Horror Story,
yes, Cass. Yes, I was expecting her to just, like, take out Borax and tell Hannah to drink it. No, but, so she puts this idea.
Jesus.
She puts this idea in Hannah's head after they
right.
kind of.
That's
kinda,
what I was getting at.
They get talking, they get a little chummy, and then she's. Finds out that, by the way, did you notice, like, oh, I have to answer this. And it's like, hey, baby. And it's like, you didn't have to answer that. You were at fucking work. You're interviewing somebody. And then she did, just like we talked about last show, that was my boyfriend.
My boyfriend.
And same thing at work.
I need to talk to, I miss my boyfriend.
And the same thing when she was at work, and her boss is like, you got to stay at this hotel. And she says, can I bring my boyfriend?
But you see, that's okay to say boyfriend there because she doesn't know. It's like, can I bring Adam? She'd be like, who?
But she could have just
said, "Who the fuck is Adam, you psycho?"
Whatever. She could have just said, "Can I bring people?" Like,
right? But she wants to sound like I have a boyfriend.
That's what I'm saying. That's why she said it. Like, because if you say to your boss, like, your boss is like, "Stay at a hotel tonight," and you say, "Can I bring my girlfriend?" It's like, you know, oh, there's going to be fucking going on. Okay. Like, that's what you're advertising. You're basically advertising that there will be fucking.
There will be P inside of the G.
I was just thinking sex, but okay.
Well, that's the P and the G.
That was a callback to Wet Hot American Summer when.
I do enjoy that movie.
You mean P and V? No, I'm talking about sex.
But speaking of sex, even more interestinger, there's another angle going on in this episode.
Ray and Marnie?
Is that we see now that this Ray and Marnie relationship, so to speak, you know, by relationship. See, can I tangent for a second? Don't you hate it? It's kind of like, have you ever like been in a situation with a girl? You know what I mean? And
never.
You discuss like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, maybe not a full. See, the problem with the word relationship today is that it's too, like, people refer to it too much as being in a committed relationship with a significant other.
Okay.
You know, and calling it a relationship. So when you use the word, like, for its literal meaning, as in, like, a relationship is just any, like, me and my mother have a relationship. And our relationship is she's my mother and I'm her son. You know what I'm saying?
You sound kind of like you sound like kind of those people that would use this technicality to get out of trouble at some point.
But
I said we were in a relationship. I didn't say we were in a committed relationship.
That's not what I'm getting at. Like, but you know what I mean though. Like the literal sense of the word is
jump back to the show and tell me what you were getting at because you just sidetracked.
I'm jumping back to the show, but like I'm saying, it's like to use a word to define itself. It's like a relationship means just any relation. It could be any relationship between any two people. You know what I mean?
Or
like
a cat. I have a
whatever it may be.
Me and my cat have a pet owner relationship.
Exactly. That's your relationship. You know what I mean? So like you know, I've been in a situation where it's kind of like, oh, you know, blah blah blah. You know, the nature of our relationship, and a girl has been like, "Well, we're not in a relationship." I'm like, "No, bitch! Like, there is something between us. Even if our relationship is just fucking, that's the nature of our relationship." You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, calm the fuck down. So, anyway, to relate back to the show, like, you know, so Ray and Marnie's relationship that they have going on, which is in fact just fucking. So Marnie apparently has gotten very comfortable with that and is just coming over with pizza to just, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, I've had such a, you know, rough day.
You know what confused me about this, though, was like things like that are the signs that you're in a relationship and didn't really know it. Like,
right.
When you're banging somebody and then like, but then you're kind of just, you get kind of chummy. You're not really banging anybody else. And all of a sudden, like, you're calling each other up and complaining about shit and just coming over and bringing pizza, watching them. Like she literally brought a movie and pizza over and was just like, oh, blah, this, that, the other thing.
To be fair, it was his Netflix and it was Bridget Jones too, she made fun of him for it.
But like, either way, it's just like, she literally brought over pizza and a movie.
So his
response
is
he gets all emotional and just says like I can't do this. He's like, I want a girlfriend, I don't want just this. And the thing is, I thought he was gonna like put it out there and be like, so would you want that? And he just is like, I want a girlfriend. And she's just like, fine, bye. And I was like, why didn't he?
I think he put it out there. I don't know. You can take it a couple different ways.
I didn't take it. Like, I think that's possibly how the show was trying to relay it, that he was saying, like, we have to stop this because I want a girlfriend. But I felt like that could easily have been construed as, and the first way that I construed it as, you know, this needs to be more or it needs to be nothing. But he didn't actually give her the opportunity to, like, address that. He just sort of put the kibosh on it.
And he's Jewish, so kibosh is a proper word. See, the thing is, it could be taken two ways, and I think it's either up into interpretation right now, or the show will clarify, you know, further down the road, so to speak. But it's either one of two things. It's either he said what he said because he wanted to give her a chance to be like, well, you know, well, that's what I want, and let's take it further, or he was trying to say, listen, I want a relationship and you're not the one. You know what I mean? It's not going to be with you. So I can't waste my time with you because there's someone else out there that I'm trying to find. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think I totally feel like for Rey in this situation, where it's kind of like, you know, I go through my phases where I just want to kind of do my thing, be single. But then when you get in that mode where you just kind of like, you really want to like find that companion or whatever, if you're just, let's say, just fucking someone and it's, she's not what you're looking for, it's kind of like, I don't want to be in a dead end, which is a dead end emotionally.
And then it's kind of a runaway, for me. It becomes a runaway train until somebody does something about it.
Right. And totally, like, not even, I guess, to further her character, it's, like, not even that important, you know, in the big scheme of things. But she ran into, I think it was a girl that used to work with Charlie, and she is kind of, like, getting a little taste of success and doing her own thing, and she, you know, got a little upset about that. And I think that's kind of, like, it's finally hitting Marnie of, like,
their,
you know,
rapport,
that
by the
whole,
way,
like, where am I going? Like, what am I doing with myself?
The rapport, like, between them, what was her name, Sujin? Sujin?
Yeah.
The rapport Very between awkward. Them was so weird because first she's like friendly, but then she's at the same time is kind of blowing her off. Like they are walking in the street side by side chatting, and then when Marnie tries to give her that hug, she just stays frigid until Marnie walks away.
I think it was a matter of she was had no intention to really like. It was more or less like her stroking her ego, like, oh, hey, there's a girl I know. Let me tell her about my success and be on my way.
Yeah, because
then
probably.
When Marnie said, hey, like would it. You need someone to, you know, help? Like, because she's done the whole, like, museum thing, being, like, a hostess
right.
type of thing. He threw that out there, and she was like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, all right, bye, you know. And then she realized, like, oh, she wants something out of me. Like, you know, she was a stuck-up little rich girl, you know what I mean? But you know, just side note, it got Marnie, like, it kind of sent her into a different, you know, headspace, so to speak. Because then after the whole Rey thing, when she met up with everyone in the hotel, she was very upset and went right into the bathroom, was kind of upset. Now it could be, you know, a cornucopia of things, if you will.
There was two things. There's two things about this scene that were very interesting to me. The first one being that she doesn't tell Hannah what's going on. She just says, I can't tell. So instead of starting shit like a schoolgirl, she just says, like, I'm upset. I just can't talk about why. But, like, that they just embrace as friends. Then Hannah gives her a hug. And the way they shot this scene, if you saw the way this was boxed, they show a mirror behind them. And it almost looked, if the way it was shot, you just expected Hannah to look in the mirror while she was hugging Marnie. Which I think would go to that narcissism that they have touched on throughout the show and displayed us, and it's almost like she took a quick glimpse at the mirror, but then embraced Marnie more. I can't say for sure that was done on purpose, but if it was, then bravo.
You might be giving it too much credit, but if it was, then yeah, that's straight up like. Symbolism 101, especially with the episode before it, just showing
I'd say it's more
Hannah
of a 201,
is finally growing. I've been clamoring for growth. I've been clamoring for change, a learning something. I mean, maybe we're finding it just in bits and pieces, but could it be something? Like I said, is it just that we're looking for it so hard that we're reaching and we're but otherwise a very astute observation that I didn't notice.
It wouldn't have hit me so strongly if the scene just weren't framed the way it was. Just that this mirror was in plain view and their reflection was in the mirror, like, perfectly, to the point where you couldn't not see it.
As someone who generally has an eye for these things, and you know, I'm not gonna say, oh well, I took film for a term and I know something. No, I took film for a term because I at least had an eye for it and I was interested in it. I'm not saying I took film for a term and I'm a fucking expert, but yeah, like there's so much you can do with just how you frame and angle things. It's like it's so important and it can mean so much. And I hate to see it. It's why I'm a good I should actually take up photography, because honestly, I see some photography and people are just lazy and stupid. And I hate, like, going places, especially conventions, and I hand off my camera, like, yeah, take this pic. And it's like the framing is all fucked up and there's all this bad negative space. Like, oh my God, the negative space. Like, do you know anything?
I feel like
please.
Photography is one of those arts that you can't really
get it.
You can't really appreciate until you find somebody that sucks at it.
Right, like, exactly.
Like, you think...
You get it or you don't.
Like, you think, oh, anybody could take a fucking picture, and then you give someone a camera, and you're like, can you grab a picture? And it's just like, what the... what were you seeing? Like, how did
What in the fuck?
Like, when you composed this, what were you thinking? But, yeah, getting back to the girls...
People don't get composition.
Getting back to girls, like, I felt like that scene was at the angle it was shot at for a reason.
I like I said, I'll repeat myself, an astute observation. I applaud you, sir.
Thank you. So that's the Marnie. And then Marnie, well, then Adam makes friends with that guy from One Tree Hill.
Yeah, that is that guy. Yeah, that was that guy.
And he busts out his folk guitar and starts playing a song that Marnie knows the lyrics to. They start singing, and they kind of have a bond. For some reason, the show all of a sudden takes place in 1998, and she gives him her email address, or she gives him her email address, which is like MarnieFace83@AOL.com.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught that.
So,
it was just like...
Yeah, I did. I, this is an interesting thing here, because I'm watching this episode, and I'm like, all right, because we failed to mention that when Ray was like, I can't do this, she said, well, whatever, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you think this is like, you know, I'm the hot girl that wouldn't give you the time of day in high school, and now it's like you're getting your revenge on a girl. Like you fucked me, and now it's like, oh, you're getting rid of me, like it's the revenge thing. Like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think he was genuine. It wasn't about that at all.
Right, no, it wasn't.
That's what's going on in her head, yeah.
But I also think
she's upset about it still, because...
I mean, there's a rejection thing there, so you're kind of upset about it, but... And again, that was the time where I think Ray could have said, well, I'm not saying I don't want you, I'm just saying I don't want what we're doing to continue, but I guess he doesn't want her, so that's that. But...
I guess in future episodes, hopefully, before the season's over, it sheds a little more light on his intentions, and also exactly how she feels about that, so, whether she's truly upset about that or just being rejected.
So for entertainment value, do you want Shoshana to find out what happened, or do you feel for her character and don't want her to find out what happened?
For entertainment value, I want to see what I want her to find out what happened, just because I want to see how they deal with it. Because, I mean, that's really the whole interest of the show, is just another... A show about people dealing with problems and conflict between them.
How great it would be if they just do the ending of Rocky 3. It's just like,
oh, Jesus.
Shoshana and Marnie in a gym somewhere in a ring. They have boxing. You're going to ring the bell? Ding, ding. And then, like, right as they're about to punch each other, they just play Eye of the Tiger, and that's the season finale.
It just frees, and it goes to, like, you know, oil paint pastel.
Right. Lena Dunham, please do that.
You think Lena Dunham's a Rocky fan?
I don't think she's a Two Dudes Watch Girls fan, so she'll never hear me say that, but...
Oh God, she should be.
How could you not like Rocky though?
I've said that to many people. There's so many people that haven't seen Rocky, and Italians too. And I'm just like, how the fuck do you look at yourself in the mirror?
Well,
and someone told me, someone said that. I remember getting into someone that said, "Oh, the Rockies, like they're all like whatever. They're not a big deal. And the first Rocky is fucking boring." I'm like, go fucking buy a clue.
Right.
Go learn how to movie appreciation.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well,
send
us a message if you have never seen Rocky. So I'm curious who is listening to the show and wants to contact us anyway. I'm at Twitter at M2J. You're at Twitter at Denny Lugs.
Denny Lugs, one word.
L-U-G-Z.
L-U-G-Z.
And by the way...
We're getting way far from closing up this Marnie situation.
It's important I mention this. I am giving away a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds to, one lucky winner. All you got to do is hit me up, say, I want to win those earbuds. I'll put your name in a hat. And the last show of the season, which is only two shows away, I'll say, hey, this person won. Yay.
Well, we have two shows left.
I'm giving shit away is the point I'm trying to get at here. So
I get it.
You know, not,
I get
not,
it.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them.
Oh, I know. Well,
you know, like you do these things and like you can't even give shit away anymore. Like on the internet, like we've gotten to that point. Like I'm telling you, like I am giving, I am legit giving something away. All you gotta do to enter this contest, so to speak,
is tweet.
Yeah.
Tweet diddly deet.
Both
bro.
Of us or either one of us, and we'll collaborate our names and be like, okay, this is who we got. So just letting you know.
Yeah, this thing you're giving away, it's kind of like a get well card. Like just put my name on it, you know.
Yeah.
Just sign my name on it too. Huh.
All right, so closing up the Marnie story here.
Yeah, I'm closing up this Marnie story here. I'm trying to say that now I'm watching this episode and I'm, you know, we went from Ray saying, I can't do this, to her coming right there, being upset, and immediately seeing this guy and hitting it off with this guy, at least, you know, in terms of the singing and this and that. I'm just like, oh boy, are we really just moving from one, you know, love interest angle to the next just that quick? I was kind of like, you know, it works, but I'm just like, eh. But to my delight, he kind of subtly shut, like, he kind of think he subtly shut her down without her really realizing it, because he said, I have to run home because my, what was her name? My Clementine is making jambalaya. And he never flat out said, like, oh, that's my wife or that's my girl, but I think that's what he meant.
That's what I got the impression of, too.
Yeah, she was like, oh, is that a song? He's like, no, actually, because it's actually a dish. It's being prepared for me. He never said, like, my wife or my girlfriend, but is kind of like, I think that was just, like, his one little appearance, and she...
We might see him again if we see Adam's part in this. And by the way, there's also something I forgot to mention with the whole Hannah and Adam thing, is the funny thing is now... Adam just did something, and he's got a part in a Broadway show, and it's sort of a big deal. And Hannah just got her first paycheck, and she's living La Vida Loca now. And
yet, oh my God, are you serious? Talk about 90s references.
And but now she's troubled because she's got this idea in her head that Adam is going to become like this snooty Broadway asshole, and he's going to just bang like any chick he can get his hands on in the Broadway scene. And now he's going to have fans and admirers, and despite the fact that they both got this amazing boost in their professional worlds now, like, Hannah has this twinge of unhappiness, but she addresses this...
Bold prediction.
Yeah? Hannah's gonna...
No, continue.
Okay, so...
But you know what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
but
you're gonna say Hannah's gonna bang someone else, but she,
No!
But the cool thing here is that they're taking a bath together, and she straight up just tells him, like, I am afraid this is going to happen. And he's just like, that ain't going to happen. So they, like...
That's exactly how it went
right,
down.
Like, they just addressed it like adults. Like, instead of letting this consume her, she, like, literally just... Although it was funny that, like, Patti LuPone puts this idea in her head, and then everybody else she talks to about it, she's now paranoid about it, and they're like, what are you talking about? And finally, when it gets to Shoshana's like, he's going to bang everybody. but yeah, they're just sitting in a bathtub, and she says, like, I'm scared that... You know, this is going to somehow take you away from me. And he's just like, no, it ain't going to happen. I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And then he starts doing his lines. That's how the show ends.
Mm.
So what's your bold prediction?
It might be too telegraphed, too predictable, too cliche, but Hannah gets too nutty about it. It starts to consume her and, you know, false allegations, and goes, like, you know, too crazy about it, to where he is just like, you know, she thinks she's catching him doing something, but he's actually not. He ends up being completely innocent, and he's just like, I can't deal with you with this bullshit, and dumps her. Where it's kind of like, if that happens, and now we're in this cycle of he breaks up with her end of first season, gets back together second season, and then breaks up with her end of third, where we would be in a vicious cycle if that would be the case.
Right. That would be kind of too repetitive at that point.
I guess not so much bold prediction as just, well, that would be the predictable thing, I guess.
Now, the other element to this whole thing is Jessa is hopelessly bored at her job.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy, whose name I can't remember, British guy, right?
British guy from rehab.
We'll just call him Nigel for now, because I don't know his name. And that, Nigel's like a very British name. So... Nigel shows up.
McGinnis?
Yeah, Nigel McGinnis. Nigel McGinnis shows up at her job and basically just tells her, yeah, you can't be tamed. You're not part of this. Like, you and me were wild people. And by the way, does it bother you that, like, that's the fine line that a lot of people draw? Like, you're wild if you do drugs, but you're tame if you do not. Like, that's like, the border.
No, you're fucking stupid if you do drugs.
Like, it just aggravates me. Like, I feel like that's how, like, a lot, like, mostly drug people, so it really shouldn't matter, but they kind of see it as, like, I am untamable and wild because I do drugs. But anyway, so he basically just, like, hits her with, like, a beam of peer pressure, and then...
Convince her to do a bunch of coke.
Yeah, they show up at this hotel, and they're already, like, tweaking and hopped up on coke. and they're doing coke, and then they go out and they steal money from Jess's job and buy more coke.
He tries to grab at her titties, and she's like, "Ah, nigga, let me do more coke. Get away from her."
And then, and of course, I love when he was talking to Shoshana, and he says to her, "You know, where do you have any coke?" And she's like, "I don't do coke." And it's like,
I thought they were already on coke, which he was. I thought Shoshana did the coke with them, and then she was like, "No, what are you talking about?" And then it's kind of a funny moment if you really like, if you're that familiar with coke, because it's kind of like you think they're both fucking just, you know, jaw jacking a mile a minute on coke.
I thought,
"Do you have coke?" And she's just like, "No, what are you talking about?"
Yeah,
and it's like, "Oh, that's just Shoshana Shoshana."
I never thought Shoshana was on coke in that scene. I just thought she was being Shoshana.
I thought she was on coke, and I actually let out a chuckle, being like, "Oh yeah, she's just being Shoshana." I think that was by design, to be honest with you.
Maybe, but the way it struck again, I guess it struck me different because the way I took it was just Shoshana's being Shoshana, and Shoshana being Shoshana is just like a person on coke, except they highlight that by him thinking that she's doing coke or knows where to get coke, and she just accents that by saying, "I don't do coke. I'm just like this."
So now, and you know what? I almost forgot about the Jessa angle, and this is why. Now let's bring it back full circle to close it off. This is why I feel this is the best episode of the season. There was so many angles and developments going on.
That's true.
Not only all four of the girls' characters were involved, but both the men as well. Everybody was involved in somewhere.
And don't forget
and everybody.
Don't forget Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah finds out that Adam's got a Broadway part now, and he's already trying to like scheme his way in.
I know so much about Broadway and this and that.
Can you hook me up? Can you put in a good word for me? Can you do this? Can you do that?
He's homosexual, so naturally he's interested in Broadway.
Of course, yeah. But then the best part is Adam says to him, "I'm not really into this scene. I don't even want to be a part of it. I'm just gonna like do the play and then go home." And
that's why Adam is the man as well, because we would probably agree with that sentiment if we were in his shoes.
Yeah. And Elijah gets pissed at him and just says, "All right, don't come to me when you need help," or some bullshit like that. But
well, he mentions something totally random when, like, a particular Broadway actor is drunk and on their face or whatever, and you need to help them.
Yeah.
So, but that's why I say it's a great episode, because everyone's involved. Everything, you know, is going on. I feel like everybody progressed or regressed, or at least, you know, went somewhere, except for Shoshana. She was just there, but
which is
she
a shame,
still was involved.
But she progressed like the most in the last episode, though. So we could let that slide.
Yeah, we could definitely put it on the slizzy slide. So here we are with girls. We have two episodes left. We have to make this episode setting us up to go somewhere big. Let's see how this affects everybody in the crew, where we go from here, and I'm excited for these last two episodes.
As am I. Any predictions other than the one you made already?
I had my cliche prediction, so... I'm sorry, I'm feeling kind of sick. I had coffee, and I got a bad cough.
Killing me here. Anyway.
I tried to... I need water. I need to go.
All right.
I need water really bad.
That's the end of the show. Girls! Later. Hey,